Welcome to the Heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford, the pastor of poetry. Today's foundational scripture is found in Psalms, the 22nd chapter, and this chapter was written by King David. The title of the message is A Prophetic Glimpse of the Cries of Christ, the Artful Skill of Crying from a Biblical Perspective. So I will be highlighting the different cries that Jesus cried on the cross, and I will be comparing Psalms 22 with some scriptures in the New Testament, because Psalms 22 is a prophetic glimpse of the cries of Christ and all that Jesus went through before he died on the cross for you. And before he died on the cross for me. So, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? What does it mean to be forsaken? Have you ever been forsaken? Do you know anyone that was forsaken? Jesus was forsaken. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was despised. And Jesus experienced all of these things before he was even born. You see, his mother Mary, when she was pregnant, there was no room for him in the inn. But the innkeeper said that he had room for her in the manger. So, can you imagine how Mary felt giving birth to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and no one had room for her? Nobody? And she had to go in the manger with the animals and have her baby. I can only imagine what Mary was thinking about. Who is this child that's inside of my belly that everyone is forsaking him as they forsake me? Who is this child that everyone is rejecting me and they are rejecting him? Well, let's talk about what it means to be forsaken. Because when we're forsaken, a lot of times we will cry out to God and we'll let him know, God, this thing that I'm going through, it hurts. I don't even know where to begin to tell you how I feel. I can't find the words to articulate the pain that I feel inside. God, I'm going to cry out to you because you said in your word that when I call out to you, God, that you would answer me. So, forsaken means to give up, to abandon, or desert someone, especially during a difficult time. In this text, David was rejected by his friends, and David felt like he was rejected by God. But God never forsook David, and God never forsook Jesus. And if you feel like God has forsaken you today, I just want to remind you that God said in his word that he will never leave you nor forsake you. So please don't respond to your feelings. Don't respond to your emotions. Don't look at the situation, but lift your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help, because all of your help comes from the Lord. So going back to the message, David was rejected by his friends, and he felt like he was rejected by God. This rejection, as painful as it was, truly, it was a prophetic glimpse of the cries of Christ. So I'm going to ask you to go with me to Matthew's, the 27th chapter. And we're going to take a look at the 46th verse. And I'm going to be giving out a lot of scriptures, so please follow along with me for those of you that can. So verse 46 says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani." That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So I'm going to go back to Psalms 22 and verse 1. David said the same words that Jesus said in Matthew's, the 27th chapter in the 46th verse. And that's why the Holy Spirit gave me this topic, a prophetic glimpse of the cries of Christ. So as I read verse 1 in Psalms 22, I want you to listen to the words that King David is saying to God. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" And Jesus, in Matthew 27, in the 46th verse, I'm going to read it again. It's a little different with the translation, but it basically means the same thing. So we have that scripture in the Old Testament, and we have that scripture in the New Testament. In verse 46, in Matthew 27, it says, "In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani.'" That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So what can we possibly learn from David's cry? And what can we learn from Jesus' cry? David said, "Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So as we go back to roar, David said, "Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring?" What does it mean to roar? Roar is to groan, to utter a deep, prolonged sound that is indicative of pain, grief, or vexation. In Hebrew, the word for groan is onak, and it is to make a shriek, to cry out in groaning, to make a loud, high-pitched cry, to scream. In Greek, the word for groan is stenazo, and it means to sigh, to groan, or pray audibly. Now, I want you to take the time to read the entire chapter of Psalms 22, because it will give you a deeper look into everything that Jesus was going to experience later in Matthew's, the 27th chapter. So our foundational scriptures is Matthew's 27th chapter, and the key verse is verse 6, 46, and Psalms 22, the entire chapter, and the key verse is verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we're talking about what it means to roar, and roar is to cry. So let's take a look at the definition of cry and what it means to cry. Cry is to shed tears as the result of a strongly felt emotion. We can be happy, we can be sad, we can be angry, we can hurt, we can rejoice, we can feel pain. We cry for many, many reasons. We cry when a baby is born. We cry when a loved one dies. We cry when we hear sad news. We cry when we're emotionally high because we experience a wonderful victory. We cry when we're sad. We cry when we're mad. We cry for so many reasons. We cry out to God when we're overwhelmed and we need to go to Him and cast our cares upon Him. Cry is to shout or call out loudly to God by praising and worshiping Him, especially when we experience pain and have suffered a loss. Cry is to make a distinctive sound, to make a natural, high-pitched, characteristic call, almost like a bird or an animal. Which I want to ask a question for all of my Jurassic Park fans That was one of my favorite movies, by the way. But part three, I want to take you back to the part where the raptors came to their nest and they realized that two of their eggs were missing. And they wasn't just missing, they were stolen because someone stole their eggs. Well, if you remember the movie, what did they do? I'm gonna tell you, because it's been a long time since you've seen it, I know. The raptors sent out a war cry. Ah! Ah! And when the other raptors heard it, they stopped what they were doing and immediately they came to the rescue. They began to assess the situation. They looked to the left. They looked to the right. They looked in front. They looked in the back. They strategically pursued the perpetrators that stole the eggs. Remember, we're talking about the prophetic glimpse of the cries of Christ and the artful skill of crying from a biblical perspective. So in this movie, Jurassic Park, if the raptors can call out, if the raptors can release a war cry, and the other raptors came to the rescue, I'm so reminded of God's word in Jeremiah 23, because God said that when we call to him, that he would answer us. So if you're not calling out to God, how do you expect God to respond and come to your rescue? Go with me to Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter in the 3rd verse. And the word says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So I want to go back to David for a moment, and I want to, go back to Jesus, because this is a prophetic glimpse of the cries of Christ. And we're talking about David in Psalms 22 and verse 1, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? So remember, I said that roar is to utter a deep, prolonged sound that is indicative of pain, grief, or vexation. So why was he experiencing this pain? And what does vexation mean? And why did he ask God, why have you forsaken me? Well, let's take a look at the definition of vexation. And this is going to be broken down into parts, because it's too much to get through the whole message tonight. The state of being annoyed, frustrated, or worried is the definition of vexation. If you are feeling vexed, if you are feeling annoyed, if you are feeling irritation, exasperation, indignation, anger, displeasure, if you feel like you like in a bad mood, you feel disgruntled, you feel aggravated, that's the definition of vexation. And roar is to groan, to utter a deep, prolonged sound indicative of pain, grief, or vexation. And I know you're probably saying, Stacy, why are you repeating this stuff over and over? Well, I really want you to understand what it means to roar and where that deep hurt and that deep pain, that deep vexation and grief, where it comes from. You see, David was broken when he cried out to God. He was desperate. He didn't want to stay in that place of pain. And he felt deserted. He felt like God had left him. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So The purpose of this message is to teach you, to encourage you, to cry out to God, to groan, and to utter a deep, prolonged sound, to let God know, God, I need you. I need you, God. It's okay to groan. It's okay to cry. It's okay to call out to God, because God cares about you. God is concerned about everything that you are concerned about. In Psalm 6, the psalmist said, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all of my enemies. And verse 8 says, Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. So again, we're talking about the prophetic glimpse of the cries of Christ. And we're also talking about the artful skill of crying from a biblical perspective. So when I broke down the definitions of groaning, groaning is to cry. And it's to pray audibly to God. A lot of times when we cry, the Holy Spirit, not a lot of times, every time we cry, God is collecting our tears and he's placing them in a bottle. And Jesus, he cried out the same way David cried out. In Matthew 27 in the 46th verse, when Jesus was hanging on a cross in excruciating pain, about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Well, what does it mean to cry? We just went through the definitions of what it means to cry. I gave you the example of a war cry when the raptors realized that their eggs was missing. And so they released a war cry, and then the other raptors came to the rescue. And they began to help. David's cries was a prophetic glimpse of the cries of Christ. So for a biblical definition of crying, please go with me to Hebrews, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse. And I also want you to bookmark Jeremiah 33 and verse 3. That says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So in Hebrews 7, we're going to take a look at verse 5, where Jesus taught me a lesson on the artful skill of crying unto God, and where he is teaching me how to brood over his word and prayer in the midst of an agonizing, a painful, and a chaotic situation that I am presently experiencing. So Hebrews 7 and verse 5, and I'm sorry, that's Hebrews 5 and verse 5, verse 7. Hebrews 5, verse 7. And I'm sorry. Verse 7 reads, Who so also Christ, I'm sorry, that's verse 5. Verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So I'm going to stop there, and we're going to reflect on verse 7 of Hebrews 5. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard. So this scripture is talking about answered prayer. And right here, God began to show me through Jesus' experience in the Garden of Gethsemane, the biblical formula needed to overcome the agonizing, painful, chaotic situation. And it is found in Matthew, the 26th chapter, 36 through the 46th verses. When Jesus offered up prayers and supplication with strong tears in the Garden of Gethsemane. So if you could turn with me to Matthew's 26, and I thank you for your patience. It's really good to give out the scriptures and to read along. And if you can't read along right now, just write down the scriptures so that you can go back and review the scriptures at your leisure. And I encourage you, if you have any questions, please feel free to comment in the comment section right on the Blog Talk Radio page, or you can email me at ariseandshine@aol.com, or you could contact me on Facebook at Arise and Shine for Jesus Ministry. And I thank you so much for spending this time with me today. You're listening to The Heartbeat of God with Stacy Lunsford, and we're talking about the artful skill of crying from a biblical perspective, and we're learning about the prophetic glimpse of the cries of Christ. So our scripture right now is found in Matthew's, the 26th chapter, and we're going to start at the 36th verse. In the 36th verse, we're going to read from verse 36 to 46. Matthew's 26th chapter, 36 through 46 verses. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he came, and he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them.